Okay, this past yesterday was Shabbos Parshas Matos Masai. So in Parshas Matos, the pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, "Nekoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'ez hamidyanim, venge the vengeance of b'nei Yisrael from the Midianim." Afterwards, you will pass on. The Mefarshim have tremendous difficulty with what seems that Moshe differs from Hashem's command. Hashem says to Moshe, "Avenge the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael from the Midianim." Moshe Rabbein, in the next pasuk, says, "Vayidaber Moshe lo Am Leimer." Moshe speaks to the nation, and he says to them, "Loseis nikmas Hashem b'Midian," to place the vengeance of Hashem in Midian. So Hashem tells Moshe, "Venge the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael," and Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael to venge the vengeance of Hashem, instead of telling them to venge the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael. So we need to understand why Moshe Rabbeinu changed the lashon of Hashem to tell Bnei Yisrael to venge the vengeance of Hashem. A little bit later in the parsha, so Moshe Rabbeinu appoints generals to fight this battle against Midian, and the head general is no other than Pinchas. And the pasuk tells us that they killed every male, vayahargu kol zachar. They killed every male, and they captured all the women of Midian. Then the pasuk tells us, "Vayiktzayv Moshe al pekudei achoil." Moshe got angry at the generals that they allowed the women to live. "Vayomer aleihem Moshe, achisem kol nekeva." Moshe said to them, "You let the women live? Hein heino hoyu lebnei Yisrael b'dvar bilam limsar mal b'Hashem al dvar pa'oir atiyam agefa b'das Hashem." The whole purpose of this vengeance is that the Benois Moav, the daughters of Moav, which were in cahoots with the Benois Midian, enticed Bnei Yisrael to sin with them. And that's what caused the plague that killed so many Jews. Besides the fact that it caused them all to sin, it caused a terrible plague among the Jewish people. 24,000 people died. So that was the whole purpose of this battle. The whole purpose of the vengeance was to take revenge for what the women did. So you let the women live out of all people. They're the ones who were taking revenge from. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's taina was to the generals. So we need to understand, we're not talking about simple people here. We're talking about Pinchas and the other generals as well. What were they thinking? Why did they decide to allow the women to live? The Pasuk in Tehillim, which we're very familiar with, we say it by davening, Kel Nekomais Hashem. The Pasuk says Hashem is a vengeful God. Now the Baal Shem Tov asks that both Hashem's names, Kael, and Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei, both of these names are Hashem's names of chesed, Hashem's names of kindness. So what are they doing next to vengeance? It seems that the appropriate name that should be associated with vengeance would be Hashem's name Elokim, which is a name of Hashem's name of din, Hashem's name of justice. But here it says, kill nekamos Hashem. The word nekamos, which means vengeance, is surrounded by kail and by havaya. Each one of those are shemos of chesed. They're Hashem's names of kindness. That's the Baal Shem Tov's kasha. In addition, I'd like to ask that ordinarily, we know that we're supposed to follow in the ways of Hashem. The Pasuk says, "V'halachta b'drachav," you're supposed to walk in Hashem's ways. Ma'ahu chanun, avato chanun, ma'ahu rachum, avato rachum, just like He is compassionate. You're supposed to be compassionate. And basically, Hashem practices what He preaches. He doesn't tell us to act one way when He acts another. So why does Hashem tell us, loisikaim, Hashem tells us, don't take revenge, when Hashem prides Himself of being a kel nekamos, of being a vengeful God? Is vengeance a good thing or not a good thing? This Shabbos was Shabbos Mevorchem Chodesh Av. Chodesh Av is approaching. Yitz Hashem on Wednesday will be the Chodesh. Chazal tell us, Mishenichnas Av Mimatin V'Simcha. When Av enters, we're supposed to minimize our Simcha. Rabbi Chassidim, Simcha is very essential to Avoda. And therefore, we have difficulty with this Chazal, that we're supposed to minimize our Simcha. So the Heilige Chayz of Lublin said that that people don't place the comma in the right place. And really, it's supposed to be read, Mishnechnas Av Mimatin. When Av enters, we're supposed to minimize. How do we do that? B'simcha. You're supposed to do that, B'simcha. So now, we just need to understand what that means. What does that mean? What are we supposed to minimize? And how do we do that, B'simcha? So, in order to understand all of the above, I'd like to suggest the following. The source, the root, the shoresh of the word nekama. What is the shoresh, the root of the word nekama, which means revenge? I believe that the root is the word kam, which means to rise. If you look into the Torah, when the pasuk says mipnei seva taku, right, you should rise for an old man. That same word takum, right? If you look into the Torah when it says don't take revenge, it says loisikoim. They're spelled exactly the same. Takum, which means to rise, and sikoim, which means to take revenge, are spelled exactly the same, which leads me to believe that they share the same root, which is come. Now, how does come? How does rise? How does revenge and rise go together? And I think that the reason why revenge is called sikaim is because when someone commits wrongdoing, it places the world on an imbalance. The world, it causes the world to be imbalanced, it causes the person to be imbalanced, it just, something wrong was done. And the way for the world to rise back to balance is through revenge. When revenge takes place, it puts the world back to the balance. When the wrongdoing is corrected, it raises the world back to its balance. It restores the balance. Now, the Rambam paskins the halacha is actually a Gemara. It says, "Heichad dami tshuva gemura." What is absolute tshuva look like? How does a person know that their tshuva is complete? Says the Gemara and the Rambam Paskins, ba'osai perik, ba'osai makim, ba'osai isha. If a person finds them place, finds themselves in the same place, in the same period of his life, meaning the person still has the same desires, the same passion that he used to have. It's in the same period of his life, the same place and the same woman, and the person refrains from committing the avera, that's total tshuva. That's complete tshuva. Now, obviously, the Gemara is talking about when the avera that took place was in the realm of arayas, of promiscuity. But the same applies to any other avera. Let's say a person got angry. A person lashed out in anger. So how does it, now the person needs to do tshuva for that. Lashing out in anger is an avera. So a person needs to do tshuva for that. How does a person do tshuva? Well, if the person finds themselves in the same circumstance and the person is being triggered by the same triggers and the person is able to control their anger, that's when the person has completed their tshuva. Depression is an avera, atzvus. And there are things that trigger a person to make them depressed, to make them sad. A person, a yid, is supposed to be besimcha. We're supposed to be joyous. So if a person finds themselves in that same situation again, that situation that triggered their depression, and the person is able to overcome those feelings and to maintain their bitachon in Hashem, to know that whatever Hashem does is good, and the person is able to maintain their simcha despite the triggers that are trying to depress him, if the person is able to accomplish that, that is complete tshuva. And the same applies to the myriad different types of averas that a person could have committed. If a person finds themselves in the same situation, triggered in the same way, and the person is able to refrain, that's complete tshuva. In essence, what happened was that until that point, the person's life, or the world in general, that every yid affects the world in general. We affect Klal Yisrael, we affect the world. When the person committed the avera, the person placed the world on an imbalance. When that tshuva gemura, when that complete tshuva came to being, the world came back to balance. The person raised the world back to balance. The person has taken revenge from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara caused the person to place the world on an imbalance. When the person is able to be in that same situation again and refrain from doing the avera, the person has taken vengeance from the Yetzer Hara, from, call it the Sitra Achra, the other side, the person has taken vengeance from the dark side, and now the world is back at its perfect balance. That's Nekama. And the Rebbe Yishlam has given us a gift, the ability to rectify, our ability to restore the balance of the world after we have caused an imbalance, the ability to take revenge of the dark side. It's a tremendous chesed. Kel nikamois havaya. The Rebbeinu Shlalem is a, his midas chesed allows for us to take vengeance, to restore the balance of the world. Now, in the beginning of Parshas Kesete, we're all familiar with the Parsha of the Eishes Yefas Toyar, the Parsha of the beautiful woman that a person sees during battle. And the Torah allows us to take such a woman into captivity and eventually to marry her. And Rashi explains, Chazal explained, that the reason why the Torah allows it is because during battle, whether it was customary of the nations to try to allure the soldiers through znus, through having the women entice them. So at a time of battle, it is extra difficult Yetzirah. This Yetzirah of Arias is an extra difficult Yetzirah. It's very alluring, very enticing. Due to the fact that Bnei Yisrael sinned with the Benois Moav, with the daughters of Moav, the world was at a tremendous imbalance. And the balance of the world needed to be restored. The balance of Bnei Yisrael needed to be restored. And the only way to restore it, tell us Chazal and the Rambam Paskins, is Bo'isai Perek, Bo'isai Isha, Bo'isai Moka. That the same circumstances need to replay themselves, and we need to be able to resist. And this, I believe, was Hashem's command to Moshe. Nikoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'eis ha-Midianim. Venge the vengeance of b'nei Yisrael from the Midianim. Not physical vengeance. Not to go murder people. What I want you to do is they need to go to battle. They need to be allured. They need to be enticed. And they need to resist. You need to venge the vengeance of an Israel. You need to restore. Nikoim nikmas. They need to rise. Restore the balance of an Israel from the Midian. They need to go into this. They need to be enticed, they need to be allured by those women, and they need to be able to resist. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu gave this over to Bnei Yisrael, he needed to give it over in a manner that they would understand that this is not physical vengeance. This is spiritual vengeance. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have told them, Nikayim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, venge the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael, they would have understood, okay, we're going to take revenge of the fact that they caused 24,000 Jews to die. We're going to kill them. We're going to murder them. That wasn't the intent. The intent was Nikayim Nikmas Hashem. This is a vengeance of the Rabbanim. We're talking about the spiritual vengeance here. That's what needs to take place. You're going into this in order to restore the balance, your spiritual balance. That's what this is about. If you look into the Targum Yonasan, when the generals report to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is a Tana, Yonasan ben Uzziel, in Kapitel Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Tes. So the Pasuk relates that Bnei Yisrael brought back from battle lots of jewelry. Very, very intimate jewelry. Says the Targum Yonasan, when we entered, he said, we entered into their chambers, and they had beautified their daughters in a manner that was terribly alluring, and they were adorned with all types of gold and silver. We took their crowns off their head. We took their nose rings off their noses, their necklaces off their necks. And he goes into great detail about all the other things that they took off. He says, nevertheless, we, heaven forbid, we did not lift our eyes to look at them. We did not look at any one of them. What they were relating to Moshe is, you sent us on a mission. We performed the mission to the T. They were there to allure us. We were in the same situation as we were when we sinned in the first place. Not one person sinned. We resisted. We restored the balance of Klal Yisrael. And that's why Pinchas didn't find it necessary to kill the women. That wasn't the point. The point was to let them live and not to be allured to them. That was the point. He didn't find it at all to be the mission to kill them. Why Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at Pinchas for not killing them is a separate drasha. But I'm trying to understand Pinchas' position and the position of all the generals. That wasn't the point of the battle. That wasn't the vengeance that Moshe Rabbeinu sent them for. It was Nikmas Hashem, not Nikmas B'nai Yisrael. It was to restore the balance, the spiritual balance of the world and of Klal Yisrael. Now, the Sforim HaKadoshim tell us that the most dangerous of all Averis is Atzvus, is depression. Sforim say that where depression can take a person, no Aver in the world can take them. So, as I mentioned before, if a person has become depressed, a person needs to see to it to restore the balance. And usually these triggers repeat themselves. And we need to make a strong effort to see to restore the balance and not to allow the triggers that have gotten us in the first place to get us again. Quite the contrary, we need to put up a resistance. And with true amunah and bitachon, to believe that the Rabbeinu Shleilam sends us these triggers as nisyonos, and they're there for us to overcome, and to be besimcha, and to know that the Rabbeinu Shleilam cherishes us, and he cherishes our avodah, and he cherishes when we're able to overcome our nisyonos, to be besimcha. That's a balance that is very, very important to restore. It's a balance that our enemies, mainly our inner enemy, has tried to destroy in all generations. And therefore, it's something that we have to be on our toes. At the time of Chodesh Adar, where we celebrate the Nes of Purim, Amalek tried getting to us. And every enemy tried getting to us in that area of Atzvus, of depression, because they know that's an area that we're vulnerable. Every person is vulnerable. But on Purim, we were victorious. We were victorious. We won over the enemy. So Purim is a time of Mishenechnas Adar, marbin b'simcha. We need to increase our simcha. We need to fortify ourselves with simcha, so that next time the enemy tries to get us, we're victorious again. In Chodesh Av, the enemy was victorious. The enemy got us. And the enemy sent us reeling into atzvus, into depression, into sadness. And therefore, it's not enough for us to fortify ourselves with simcha. We need to minimize, we need to get back at the enemy. We need to take vengeance. We need to take nekama. We need to minimize the enemy. Mishenechnas av mimatin. We need to take a blow at the enemy. How do we do that? With simcha. The only way to do that is with simcha. By increasing our simcha. But not, it's not enough to increase our simcha the way we do it on Purim, by drinking wine and with all other external manners. No, that doesn't do the job. We have to bring ourselves to a situation that would trigger atzvus. It would trigger sadness. We're not going to eat meat. We're not going to drink wine. We're not going to listen to music. We're going to place ourselves in a situation that triggers atzvus, and we're not going to be sad. We're going to be besimcha. That's the only way we can take vengeance. It has to be ba'isai makayim, ba'isai perik, ba'isai isha. We need to place ourselves in that situation and not allow ourselves to become sad. Mishenechnis of mimatin. We have to minimize perhaps all of those. And nevertheless, we need to be besimcha. That's how we take a blow at the enemy. That's how we take nekama from the sitra achra. That's how we take nekama from the dark side. That's how we restore the balance that has been off for thousands of years. So, my bracha to all of us is that we should all be zeiche in these upcoming days, despite the fact that we don't have all the external methods of arousing simcha. Quite the contrary. All the externalities are pointing towards atzvos and depression. We should have the koyach to resist and to be besimcha, that that we're yidden, that we're oivdei Hashem, we're able to serve the melech, melech ha'amlochim. No greater simcha than that. By maintaining that simcha, we should be zoicha, that the Rebbeinu Shlom should restore the balance once and for all by rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi beviyas Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu Amen. If you wait a moment, I will unmute you and I can get to hear your voices. One second. I just have to figure out how to do this. You can unmute yourselves. Do that. Hello, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkoyach, Ali. Thank you, Joel.
Shkoyach,
for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkoyach, Rabbi Chaim, for initiating this.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Sensitivity? What do you mean?
Moshe was being said, he mentioned a few times that Moshe was teaching Kleisel to be sensitive. He said the fact that they brought the woman back, that people would be able to say, oh, this person was with Yossi, it would bring shame to them.
Uh-huh.
That's why he's upset.
Very nice.
The same thing happened by the rock. Did they rule, pick any rock? Moshe was, no, we have to find the rock that served us for 39 years. It's insensitive. To go and just to find any other acts. He's teaching them trying to be sensitive to feelings.
Beautiful. Shkoyach. Amir Hashem, tomorrow night, same time, I'm going to do the Shal Shudas Torah. 7:30 tomorrow night, Amir Hashem. We'll send out another email. Shkoyach for joining, Rabbi Zan.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Kurz.
Thank you. Thank you for joining.
Wexler.
Oh.
You bet.
Thank you.